grating. Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And I'm not in a good mood this morning. I am not in a good mood. I'm going to give you a fair warning before you tune in. If you don't want to hear stuff, if you don't want to hear me moan and groan and complain, go turn on Joel Osteen or find somebody else, because you have found yourself at the wrong place. Welcome. It's the 28th of December, 2018. The Lord's not making another one. And I didn't wake up in a bad mood. My cold seems to be trying to take a second round on me, and I'm fighting that sucker back off. My wife fell asleep in front of the fireplace last night about 8:15. That's with that little sweetheart. She got so worn out over the holidays. She didn't even know. And it was just kind of peaceful. I sat there last night and was doing some prep, and she's just laying there on the floor, right beside the dog. Dog laid down beside her. It was just a precious moment to watch my wife lay there and rest. After all she's done, all she does for everybody else, it's just, I just honor my wife. I'm not mad at her. I love her. Just honor my wife. I'm just ticked off in general. I'm just ticked off in general. Yeah, I guess the reason why I'm ticked off in general is, can I go there right now? Can I go there right now? Let's go to Matthew 28. It's like a football coach, which I am, and his team ain't playing very good. Jared 28, let's go to 18. And I get frustrated. And I had a text message battle, not battle, that's not the right word, text message communication last night with my dear friend Mark Harrington, Created Equal. By the way, Mark suggested that everyone go see this latest movie on Winston Churchill. I don't know the name of it. He went and saw it last night. He said it's really, really encouraging. It'll encourage your heart because it's about standing up and fighting against overwhelming, irresistible, inconquerable odds. Having no chance and continuing to pursue and continue to fight. Mark shared with me, and sometimes I got to tell you, I get there too. I said, hell with the cultural war. Hell with it. It's over. We lost. James Dobson said that about 10 years ago. I don't know if I can find that quote for you. Jared, maybe that's something else you can fish around, the James Dobson quote that says that all human or all earthly considerations, we lost. We lost the cultural war. James Dobson said that. And I get up this morning and I just get on your computer and just go down and just look down through things. And you ask yourself, how in the hell is that a swear word? Is that a swear word? I'm sorry. The use of that word to me sounds, I hate to say it because some of you aren't going to receive it the right way. It sounds masculine. How in the hell have they done what they've done to us? Just tell my wife this morning. Last words I said to her before I came down. You can keep searching, Jared, because John, maybe you can look Jared, James Dobson admits cultural war was lost or something like that. That's where you will find it. Somebody help me out here. Who made the decision to go into Iraq? Who made that decision? You said, well, George W. Bush. No, he didn't. He may have been the guy that took the hit for it. He didn't make that decision. Who made that decision? And would you
think? Right, he was just a figurehead.
If you think back over 2001, that has been 17 years. We are still mired in that godforsaken, dare I say it, that is a godforsaken area. And we are still mired there, and billions and billions and billions of dollars funneling into that hellhole. Who made that decision? And can somebody tell me why I got to pay for it? Why it has to come out of my labors, that hellhole? Who made that decision?
Right, military.
Remarks made by James Dobson to his staff the 27th day of February on 2009, on the day of his retirement as chairman of the board of Focus on the Family. By the way, he was fired. He didn't resign. They fired him, and Focus on the Family has been nothing but Christian snowflakes ever since. Told you I'm pissed up. I told you I'm mad this morning. Told you I'm mad. Is what James Dobson said, what Mark Harrington texted me yesterday. The battles we fought in the 80s, now, try that again. The battles that we fought in the 80s, now. We were victorious in many of those conflicts with the culture trying to defend righteousness, trying to defend the unborn child, trying to preserve the dignity of the family and the definition of marriage. We fought all of those battles, and really, it was a holding action, he said. Go on down. I think there's more, Jared.
Well, I just posted the link to a video he did in 2015 and says the same thing. We've lost the cultural war.
Here it is. Thanks, Larry. And Dobson said in his speech, and now we are absolutely awash in evil, and the battle is still to be waged, and we are right now in the most discouraging period of that long conflict. Humanly speaking, we can say that we have lost all of those battles. We have lost all of them. Humanly speaking, we can say that we have lost all those battles, but God is in control. We're not going to give up, right? Every one of them. You name it, we lost it. Every one of them. Life, marriage, morality, everything that matters. We lost every damn one of them. Hey, save the emails on my language, okay? Save me the language. Say, well, that kind of language can't come out of a righteous man. I got a little bit of righteous anger in me today. By the way, all swear words are simply made up. It's simply made up. What's the difference between be saying the S-H-I-T word and poop? How come I can say poop, but I can't say S-H-I-T?
How come I can say hell?
They're just words that express an emotion. But the culture, again, has told you those are bad words and those are good words. And if you're a righteous man, you don't. Well, first of all, if you're a righteous man, you don't even get mad. That's what I wrote about today. Jared, where are we? Somebody better grab a hold of me or I'm going to go someplace I may never get back. Matthew 28. Now, just I want you to think of the magnitude of what I am about to read. I want you to think about the magnitude. And then I want you to think about what you just read from Dr. James Dobson. What Dr. James Dobson said in 2009, if my math is any good, 8 stinking years ago. Obama came into office. Bill Clinton came in, had sex with a woman. We don't even know if he had sex. He received oral sex in the global office or whatever that thing called. He received oral sex in there, and we reelected him. We reelected him the same time that Bush and Obama Dobson and all those guys, all those organizations out there raising the millions and millions and millions of dollars to fight evil, all of that out there, and the truth doesn't march on. It was the lie that marches on. Now, I hear you. We win in the end. That's not even. Well, you're waiting to win in the end. They are destroying your children and your grandchildren, and you don't even give a rat. My wife told me this morning, she said, the most profound thing that you said in the last 2 years is this. People don't know they don't know. People don't know what's going on, and they don't know they don't know. And I hung around some Christians the other day. It's amazing. You hang around them too. They ain't got no idea what's going on. I took Michelle out to eat last night. This waitress comes up. Michelle knew her because she was an aide at the local school, an aide who takes care of the unruly. We call them a handicapped kid, but they're basically demon possessed unruly kids for the most part. Oh, I got 1,000 places I want to go. Stay with me. And so Michelle's talking to this lady and they're having this conversation and I'm sitting there with my new shirt on, by the way. I'm going to show you that real quick. My wife got me this. It says, it's upside down. You can probably read it better than me. What's that say? Trump. Jesus. Trump's Trump or something like that. Maybe if I looked on my camera, I could see what's this. Let's try that one. Hang with me. Nobody can trump Jesus. That's what it says. Vote Amen, the Almighty. Bro. Vote the Amen. Almighty. Woo. I'm going to start wearing that one around more and more. Nobody can trump the Almighty. Nobody can trump Jesus. So this waitress is there, and she's going on, and Michelle's told me about the demonic manifestations that she sees in those young kids who are drugged up, full of drugs. The church is silent on drugs. In fact, most of the people sitting in the church are on some type of pharmaceutical drug. Somebody say amen for you. Somebody out there say amen, don't you, right? In the
amen,
church,
brother.
In the church, the people are
amen,
taking drugs and drugs and drugs and drugs and drugs and drugs and drugs.
Amen,
and so
I'm
sitting there and I can't hardly stand it anymore as Michelle's talking to this waitress. And I finally, you know me, open my mouth, out it comes. I said to her, I can't remember her name. I said, have you ever considered that a lot of what's going on is demonic? And she says, what? I said, demonic. Demons. Have you ever thought that these little kids are filled with demons from watching TV and playing video games and things that are going on in their lives? Have you ever considered that? And I'm telling you talk about deer in the headlights. She said, No idea. No idea. And I said to Michelle, what is this all about? You turn on TV, you go to hot movies, you go anywhere you want to, and it's all demonic, 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 demonic. It's everywhere. It's in media. It's in entertainment. The demonic's there. The demonic, crazy things going on. And the average person walking down the street ain't got no clue, including the person you're sitting beside in church. They got no idea. Well, it's great frustration. Okay, hang on here. And calm down, coach. Well, no. Now, I ain't going to calm down. Go listen to somebody else. Matthew 28:18. Think of the magnitude of what we're about to hear right now. And Jesus came and spoke to them. Well, let's go back. 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But most of them doubted. Now, the Bible says some. I'd say today most of them doubt. They don't doubt Santa Claus. They doubt him. And Jesus said and spake unto them, saying, okay, boys, I'm about to leave here. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There ain't nothing that I'm not in control of. Nothing. And what I have, I give unto you, because he had said earlier that greater works, that you're going to do greater works because I'm sending you. You're going to do greater. And he said to his followers, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Okay, so go you, therefore. Do what? Get people saved. No. No, you're supposed to go, ye therefore, and teach all nations. What's the church teaching the nations? What's the church teaching America? Let's just start right there. What is the church teaching America?
How to do yoga.
how to do yoga. You're going to be raptured soon. It's okay. Killing a baby is a choice. Love the homosexual. Don't judge. Give your tithe. On and on, right? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Churches don't even do that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. There's the great commandment and the great commission. Go and teach. And how about this, just as a bonus? By the way, I'm going to be right there with you. Actually, I'm going to be in you. Even though this whole thing wraps up, I'm going to be right there with you and in you. Let's go turn the world upside down. Those are his parting words. And you look at every, as James Dobson said, we have lost every major battle over righteousness. Before we came on the show today, I got a lot of stuff today. I saw another affirmation. That's a big word I learned in college. Affirmation means confirmation. To affirm means I agree. So I found another big affirmation that the greatest election cheating maybe in the history of America took place down in Alabama against Judge Roy Moore. Now, what's our response? What should be our response? Oh, I know what it is, Ray. The Lord's in control. Lord's in control. Well, Yeah, it was the Lord's will that was done. Yeah, I suppose. But is it possible that the Judge Moore's didn't win because we didn't go therefore and teach all nations? Is Judge Moore not winning a consequence of us not doing that? I'd say it is. And so I said, you know, this is crazy. We ought to be doing something. I can't, my computer just restarted on me over here. Yes, the Lord wants me to sit right here for a minute. Who put us into that stinking war in Iraq? Who did that to us? Who gave us this stinking National Education Association? The National Department of Education? Who gave us that?
It was the Peanut Boys.
Who gave us this idea that we have to pay, that we clap our hands when we only have to pay 12% of our income to the government? Who gave us that? Why are we, who all power has been given unto him, both in heaven and earth, and he says, boys, you go teach him how to do it the right way, and we do not raise a finger when it's being done the wrong way?
1913, Coach.
Yeah, but Vinny, think how many people have been there since 1913, and the church, as we talked about yesterday, the church has gone farther and farther and farther left. Remember we talked about conservative, liberal, by the way, that was awesome yesterday, wasn't it? That was some deep stuff there. We've adopted the religion of the world, leftism. It's infiltrated our churches. And the churches in Alabama sit back and watch this godly man. Oh, did you know this? I didn't know this. Found this out today. Did you know that he had taken a lie detector test and passed it? Did you guys know that? I didn't know that. And so they come right in. They blatantly steal. Yeah, come on, folks. How many Christians do you suppose there are in Alabama? What percentage do you suppose would be in the buckle of the Bible Belt? What percentage of Christians would be down there? And they allowed that other guy to be elected? James Dobson says we've lost. Well, we may have lost, but somebody didn't tell me. I'm still fighting. So my great frustration is, as I look out over the spectrum of the world, we shouldn't be losing. Even see this mindset that we have that bad is good, that worse is better. That's from the pit of hell, if you want to know my honest opinion. Living out pre-written revelation. I thought it said this is going to happen, Brother Dave. Yeah. Feel like sometimes running over the hill and jumping in a boat. I can paddle down the Licking River, down the Muskingum River, down the Ohio River, down to the Mississippi River, out into the Gulf of Mexico. Take my wife and go out there and find us an island. Just live out there like everybody else. That's what I ought to do. Because nobody gives a damn. Oh, you know what they give? You know what they care about? Even people watching this show. If I said the SHIT word, oh, they care about that. Oh, geez. Oh, Coach Dave. Oh, he's such filthy mouth. And murdering freaking babies. Teaching homosex to your grandkids. And we act like we're power. Okay, let me catch my breath. Somebody pat me on the back or something. Make me feel good.
You got it, brother. Listen, excellent. Excellent stuff. You haven't said a wrong thing. I know you're not going to say anything wrong. Our society has been subverted. You know, I mentioned 1913. The reason I mentioned 1913 is because that's when we got the Federal Reserve. 1913
and
is when we got income tax.
And?
1913. You say it, man, because now I'm drawing.
Direct election of senators. I believe that was the 17th Amendment. Direct election of senators by the people rather than by, 1913. Something about that number 13. Creature and Jekyll. Hey, Vinny, suppose the church has any idea? Suppose your pastors have any idea about all that stuff? Why are my people destroyed again? Somebody help me out here.
That's a good question.
My people are destroyed because they don't pray enough. My people are destroyed because of the words that come out of their mouth. My people are destroyed because they don't keep the feasts. My people are destroyed because people are destroyed. Why?
Because they
keep taking 30 pieces of silver to betray us.
Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Do you know, I'm going to have a guest on here in the next few days if I'm getting lined up. I was staggered by this. Second leading cause of death in America. Not guns. Not automobile accidents. Pharmaceutical drugs. You know that? And there's the church. This got me going on the wrong. I watched a powerful Jason A. video this morning. Powerful man. On how because we have lost our connectivity to the Lord, and that connectivity of the Lord to one another, people are trying to fill a void in their life with pharmaceuticals. There's no therapy anymore. I go to my doctor. I had a little bit of high blood pressure. I go to my doctor, and the whole time I'm in the room, he's on the computer. He's asking me questions, and he's on the computer. He came over, and he took a little bit of He did this thing, and goes back to his computer and hands me a prescription. He never once asked me, Coach, are you stressed? What's your day like, Dave? Do you find yourself worrying a lot? What's your typical thing? What are the things that, none of that, see? None of that. And that we bought into this idea that depression is a chemical imbalance. And if I were to mention to my doctor, hey, doc, maybe it's demonic, he would act the same way the daggone waitress acted.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Bobby Lee.
Yeah, Bobby.
You just made me remember. I got the top 10 lists that I've carried around for years, and I forgot all about it until you just mentioned that. You want me to run off the list here?
Yeah, please do.
All right. Top 10 killers. Tobacco use, 529,000. Medical errors, 195,000. Unintentional injuries, over 118,000. Alcohol abuse, over 107,000. Vehicle accidents, over 34,000. Unintentional poisoning, 31,000. Drug abuse, 25,000. Unintentional falls, 24,000. Non-firearm homicides, over 16,000. Firearm homicides, over 11,000. So, the top 1, 2, and 3, and 4 ranges from tobacco use to hospitals to alcohol.
They didn't include abortion on that list, did they?
No, they didn't. No, you're correct. They didn't.
Hey, you know what we need more of? You know what we need more of, Bobby? We need more DARE programs. Just say no. Right?
Yeah.
And so what we have is we have a society of people disconnected from the Almighty. Now, wait a minute. They're close enough to him that they celebrate Christmas. The porn shop puts up light. And so they have a form of godliness, the Bible tells us, but they deny the power thereof. And if you go to your local pastor with an issue, I'm going to tell you this, he's going to refer you to a doctor, probably. Because we've lost the power. The church is disconnected from the power. I'm talking to me now. I'm talking to me. Is it just me? Or do you guys, when you go around and you talk to people, do you see a greater disconnectedness to reality than at any time ever? Maybe I'm just more alert, more awake than before. I cannot believe we are freaking zombies. Roger, are you there? Are you there, Roger? I don't know if he's in with us in here this morning. Yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot, Roger. He's probably out feeding his dog or something. You go to your church. Are there zombies in your church? Just little robots? Just little Christian robots? Little Christian zombies? Just repeating platitudes and living their lives and just passing through?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George. Hey, George. Missed you last couple of days. Good to hear you.
Yeah, our little family.
Well, maybe you gave up on us.
Little family trip.
No,
yesterday, traveling. Hey, if you think about it, with the church, with the local church, the one area they haven't been hit yet, technically, is in the pocketbook, and they couldn't be more deceived because that day is coming. It just hasn't manifested itself yet. But if you think about it, they think everything's good because their giving's good, their prosperity's good, their appearance of prosperity is good. But wait till that starts hitting, because it cause and effect. It has to happen at some point. They're going to get hit in the pocketbook, and that'll change everything.
Let me take him in another direction, George. Hey, you guys out there listening right now, I'm just telling you like I'm feeling it in my heart today. I don't know where it is in the scriptures because it just popped into my head. But the scriptures tell us this, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Jared, can you Google that real quickly? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. I should know it, but I'm not David Langford. I don't have every one of them memorized. Have nothing to do, Jared, I'm sure, is looking for it right now.
Ephesians chapter 4.
Thank you. Ephesians 4. Because I asked this question. This is the kind of stuff that makes people wet their pants. Well, I'm about getting ready to ask you here. Hang on. Ephesians 4. Jared, getting it up there. I want you all to see it.
5:11. 5:11?
Yeah. 5:11.
Jared, let's go up like we always do, brother. Let's go up a little bit. Let's start right there. Oh, man, this is so good. Thank you, Lord. I love the Holy Spirit. Jared, go up to 1. Ephesians 5:1, Jared. Okay. Be therefore followers of God. Boom! Oh, Lord Jesus. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, accepted in the church, and all uncleanness, accepted in the church, or covered up in the church, or covetousness covered up in the church, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Let's go through that again. Think of the church, fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness. Isn't that amazing, those three? Don't let that ever be mentioned. He said, listen, let me go a little farther. Neither filthiness, whatever that would be, nor foolish talking. You say, oh, coach, you were doing that today. Oh, that's part of it, I suppose, but you've been doing a lot of foolish talking, too. Huh? You do a lot of it. Foolish talking, not swearing, that way, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now, guys, is the church teaching that? Or is the church teaching what? Brother, you're saved. You said that prayer. You walked that aisle. You're once saved, always saved. It'd be like me being once saved, always saved. It would be like me going to, I go murder somebody. And I go to the court. They find me not guilty and say, now, well, not guilty. You're always innocent. From here on, you're always innocent. And so I can go kill everybody. There'd be no restraint from killing anybody. If I knew, I was always going to be innocent. How do you get on there? Let no man deceive you. Hey, guys, men can deceive us, I guess. Let no man deceive you with vain words, empty words, meaningless words, phrases, platitudes. But because of these, vain words, come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my goodness. Hang on with me. Let's go back there. Because of these things come the wrath of God, not upon me, but upon the children of my disobedience. Wow. Sin doesn't just affect you. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We want to fill our church with the above. Invite them all in. See, we're supposed to get them saved outside the church and then bring them to church. We're not supposed to bring them to church to get them saved. You're supposed to be trained, equipped, and mobilized to be able to do that one yourself. For you were sometimes darkness. I was darkness. I wasn't in darkness. Brothers, I was darkness. I shined my darkness everywhere I went. But now, I'm light in the Lord, and I walk as a child of the light. Somebody say amen. All right, you don't have to. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Watch this.
Amen, brother.
And have no fellowship, none, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Okay, here's a question that's going to make you squirm. Can anybody explain to me why any Christian would give one penny to the government? I'm waiting. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, brothers and sisters, can you tell me anything that promotes darkness more than the federal government? I'm waiting. You've gone awfully silent.
Hey, coach. It's a shame It's a shame, but we're forced to.
Are we? Are we?
Yes.
Well, no, we're not. We're forced under penalty of jail. Would it be better to sit in jail than to continue to give one penny to these bastards, pardon my friends? They murder babies. They sell body parts. They rob. They kill. They steal. And the only way that they're able to do it, because you and I fund them, I pay my taxes. Wait, I pay taxes. I just ask, are we going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account for this? I want to hear somebody tell me right now the excuse when you stand before the Lord, if he asks you about this. Hey, coach, did you know that they were taking $500 million of tax money and they were using that to cut off the arms and legs of little unborn babies? Did you know that, coach? And you told me you continued to give them money to do that?
Coach.
Yeah.
The reason we give the money is because of that render under Caesar, what is Caesar's. But this nation is supposed to be a nation of the people. The people who formed this nation have lost control of it.
Mm-hmm.
They've given it over out of God's hands to the devil.
Fruitful works of darkness.
Unfruitful works of darkness.
Great.
The only way it's going to come back is if we take it back.
But I see, Joe, that's where I'm heading. And this is very, very uncomfortable talk. What if can I tell you something? Why won't your pastor speak against taxation? Does anybody know why the pastors won't speak against taxation?
They're not taxed.
Well, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. But the people are. Why won't they speak against the people being taxed?
They're scared.
Yeah, because if they open their mouth, that Uncle Sam may come tapping on their shoulder. And Uncle Sam will come tapping on their shoulder. And they're going to be able to look at Uncle Sam and say, listen, hey, dude, all power has been given unto me, both to heaven and earth. Go ye. Get out of here. You have no power, no authority. That would be the response of a Christian. And if every Christian and every pastor began to speak up and said, listen, we want no Christians paying any income taxes till that scourge of abortion is ended, what, they're going to throw everybody in jail? What are they going to do? But see, we won't do that because we bought the lie. Romans 13, we bought the lie.
You know, years and years ago when I was still paying taxes before I got retired, I wrote a letter one time along with my tax return, and I said, well, you know, tax laws say that if you give to a nonprofit organization and specify what the money is to be used for, the nonprofit organization is obligated to use the money for that reason. And then I said, since the government hadn't made a profit since the day it was organized, I says, I consider you a nonprofit organization, and I don't want a penny of this money to be used to fund Planned Parenthood. I didn't even get a response.
Right. Well, see, that's right. And so, as George said, they force us to. Well, listen, you're never forced to do anything against your conscience. It comes down to what are the consequences of that going to be. And so you got to settle that in your own heart. But the truth of it is, we don't want to push back because we don't want to suffer the consequences. So I struggle with it. I struggle with that every day. Struggle with it every day. I go to Planned Parenthood to try to keep them from killing babies, and I'm funding them to do it. What do we do here, man? What do we do? I got 20 minutes left. See if I can get my screen to pop back up here. I got a lot to talk about. I'm just trying to hear from y'all. I'm thinking about moving south. That's why I threw that in there. Y'all. Make the Southerners feel like they're part of it.
Come on down.
Hey, Jared. Hey, Jared. Pull up for me there, brother. My screen went dead. Pull up the Declaration of Independence, Jared. Do you guys understand that those guys threw off They threw off. They had nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. And do you understand that they risk life and limb? Do you understand that at some point in their lives, they all had to sit before the Lord and decide, am I going to continue to live the next 20 years of my life in quasi-liberty? Or am I going to do something about this that's going to restore this land for my children? And see, the problem we're facing in America right now is the churches don't think there's going to be a land here for their children. They think their children are going to be raptured. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. I was thinking about this. Michelle and I were kind of talking about this over dinner. Most people I know are lost. Somebody say amen.
Amen,
most people. Most people I know are lost. And the selfish desire of my heart for me to be raptured and everybody else face punishment, that is wicked, man. That is wicked.
Hey, can I add something to this?
Yeah, Bobby.
Yeah, you guys know that this new generation is coming. All right, you need to process that for a minute. Listen, every bed in every psych unit, every children's psych unit and hospital across this nation is full. Process that one. You cannot find a bed. This new generation is lost. They hate God. Their parents, listen, Generation X was the last generation that knew something about God, and they refused to pass any of it on to this new generation. You can go into any restaurant anywhere and see these kids all sitting there in a row, plugged into the matrix on their phone.
Amen.
While they're yelling and screaming and tearing the house down every night, taken out in an ambulance to a psych hospital where they literally sit for hours and hours while the intake worker is calling literally all over the state, any state of America, trying to find a bed. Oftentimes cannot, sending the kid back home. This new generation is coming, and they're not going to be very nice.
Mm. That's the reality of it, isn't it, Bobby? And
hey,
we begin drugging them at a younger and younger age, right? Yes.
Hey, Coach, just like I heard yesterday, when you read the scripture, it says in sorcerers who will not enter the kingdom of God. And there's a connection between this and abortion. And this sorcery is the Greek word. We think that's witchcraft, and actually it's pharmakia.
Mm-hmm.
Pharmakia, when we look at pharmakia, we look at the church that is overdosed in drugs, is because the doctor said it's okay. The same
amen,
thing.
Amen, Dale. Amen. The doctor said it. Don't trust.
Yep,
don't question the doctor, and don't question the government.
Right, because the government says you can kill your babies. It's okay.
And the doctor will kill them for you. Somebody else was trying to jump in.
Hey, Dave. What?
Yeah.
What's the difference between lost and hardened? Because, you know, I think there's a difference. I mean, we keep talking about these lost people. Most of the people I've been around, man, their hearts are hardened. And
that's true.
Just like scripture says. I mean, I think there's a difference there.
Well,
I think sometimes lost, you can innocently get lost. You're just not sure, and you're trying to find your way, but you're lost. Well,
the hardened are also lost. They are a small, they're a group within the lost group.
Boy, Rich, that is so true. I run into a lot of hardened hearts. I guess I never thought about that. More than just lost. Rich, I go to church with people who are lost. Their heart's not hardened. It's not the same. You're right.
Dave, if you're lost, you're trying to find your way back. I mean, that's what I see when I hear the word lost.
Mm-hmm.
But hardened, they don't even want to find their way at all. They want to keep going the direction they're going.
Oh, man. Rich, that's the point of the day right there, buddy. That is the point of the day. So combining what Bobby has said, Bobby deals with this every day. My wife, who goes and substitutes and comes home and tells me, you're not going to believe it. You're just not going to believe what's going on in the schools. And watch Rich talk about hardened hearts and about all of that stuff. And here we sit. I sit here. I'm 65 years old. I was going to talk about what I wrote about today, which is have Christians become too nice? And we have, guys, we have no love for our grandchildren if we do not intervene in the culture that they're going to live in. My precious grandchildren up top of the hill, 100 yards, 150 yards away from me, are going to live in the same culture and society of the people Bobby Lee was just talking to us about. In fact, the ones Bobby was talking to us about, they're going to be elected officials probably. And I sit here, and the church's response is, oh, well, we'll be raptured out. And that's not what Jesus told us to do. He said, go ye therefore into all the world. Teach them my precepts. Teach them to observe all this stuff. And we've stopped doing it. This is profound. This is heavy. Get the declaration up there, Jared. Are you 486 then? When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which is connecting them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separate. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among them are life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter it or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Well, I could preach right there. But when a long train of abuses and killing babies and destroying marriage and drugging kids, when a long string of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under the absolute despotism, it is the right, it is the duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferances of the colonies. Such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present government is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of absolute tyranny over these states. This could be written today. To prove this, let the facts be submitted to a candid world. The government has refused assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. The government has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be attained. And when so suspended, he is utterly neglected to attend to them. He doesn't pass a law, they don't even pay attention to them. The governors refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature. A right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. The government's called together legislative bodies at places unusual and uncomfortable. They've created all types of governmental offices and cabinets and done all this stuff for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with its measures. The government's dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. The government has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercise. The state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of this creeping government. The government has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws of naturalization of foreigners. We're letting them come over this stinking border. Ugh. refusing to pass others to encourage their migration hither and raising the condition of new appropriations of lands. The government's obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for established judicial powers. The government has made judges dependent on his will alone, for their will alone, for the tenure of their offices and the amount of payment of their salaries. The government has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of offices to harass people and eat out their substance. The government has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. The government has affected to render military independent of the superior to the civil power. The government has combined with others to subject us to jurisdictional foreign to our Constitution and acknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. Pretended legislation. Roe versus Wade, pretended legislation. Obergefell, pretended legislation. The lie of the separation of church and state, pretended legislation. He's quartered large bodies of armed troops among us. In Detroit, UN troops. He's protected them by a mock trial from punishments for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. He's cut off our trade with all the parts of the world. He's imposed taxes on us without our consent. He's deprived in many cases of the benefit of trial by jury. He's transported beyond us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws. Yes.
Well, you know, I'm getting in my car. I'm part of the problem. I spend all my time going to work. And we've allowed these changes to take place because we've spent so much time going to work.
Yeah.
65 to 70% of couples live paycheck to paycheck.
Because they're paying the government!
They do not have time, they say, to do any protest, to do any city council meeting, to do anything until it reaches a crisis, and then it's usually too late.
It is. Then they throw them in jail.
Hey, Coach, let me throw in something.
You're paying your taxes and eating, they throw you in jail.
Hey, Coach, wages versus income, right? So wages are what you exchange for your blood, sweat, tears, and time.
Right.
Income is what you just
then
get.
There was no income tax before 1913. America, there was no income tax.
That's right. And the country was fine. In fact, everyone was prosperous. As soon as you got the income tax, boom. There goes the crashes.
Let me finish up here, Vinny. The government for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into the colonies. We got the UN telling us what to do. The government's taken away our charters, abolished our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government. The government suspended our own legislatures, clearing themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever, the IRS. The government's abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. The government's plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, destroyed the lives of our people. The government is at this time is transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the work of death, destruction, and tyranny already begun within the circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. Who the hell put us in the Middle East? The government has excited domestic insurrections amongst us. What? Black Lives Matter, and has endeavored to bring in inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, the Muslims, whose known rule of warfare is an indistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. Is this unbelievable? Have you ever read this? The government in every stage of the oppressions, we petition for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of free people. Nor have we been wanting in attention to our brethren. We've warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We've reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration settlement here. We've appealed to their native justice and magnanimity. We have conjured them up by the ties of our common kindred to disavow those usurpations. We have inevitably interrupt our connection to correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voices of justice and of consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of them and mankind, enemies in war and peace friends. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intention, due in the name and by authority of the good people of the colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from any allegiance to that corrupt Washington, D.C., that all political connection between them and the government is and ought to be totally dissolved. And that as free and independent states, they have the full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, we affirm, with a firm reliance on the protections of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Sounds like the Declaration of Independence, doesn't it?
Is that unbelievable, fellas? Is this history repeating itself? Nothing new under the sun? Oh, I hear you out there. Hey, Coach, you're sounding un-American. No, no, I'm sounding very American. Sounding very American. It hit me yesterday. It's what I wrote about today. I'm 65 years old. I signed up for Medicare. I could go to Florida. My wife and I could get a condo and I could lay on the beach, eat ho-hos and ding-dongs all day and let my belly grow, waste out my last 20 years. Let the grandkids spin for themselves. I'm serious, man. This eats me up.
Coach.
Eats me up. Yeah, Joe.
Welcome to Spirit War. Okay. We, for the most part within this group, are patriots. People assembled to reinstate independence over tyranny. Patriots.
We are, brother. But see, here's the issue. We have got to, this will sound self-promoting. I don't want it to be. I want you to think about how much you have grown being part of this huddle over the last however long you've been part of it, how your entire, in many cases, your entire perspective on the world, on life, on the government, on the Bible, how much it has been changed. And I'm wondering, how actively are you trying to get others involved just with this little thing here? Just this. Just at some time during the day, get some of your Christian friends to spend an hour just watching this. Rather than Limbaugh or Hannity or pick your poison or your pastor. You mark my word, fellas, the day's coming when we're gonna look back. You know, I heard somewhere that when guys are standing on their deathbeds, when you're laying on your deathbed, and they ask people their regrets in life, that 90% of the things they regret are things they didn't do. They rarely regret things they did. We're at a crossroads. The crossroads for the church. And I say, let the church arise and its enemies be scattered. Let Christ arise and his enemies be scattered. Bless you all, man. I'll see you tomorrow.